Good morning, Jill. Good morning, Nishant. Welcome to our studio.
Good morning, Miriam.
The occasion is this weekend, today, tomorrow, and after tomorrow, play by Arthur Miller, All My Sons. Correct, Jill?
Yes, that's correct.
And it's presented by...
by the Orville Theatre Group, which I am the artistic director of.
Arthur Miller, especially that play, it came out just after the Second War.
Yes.
It's really particular, right?
Yes. I mean, Arthur Miller had had a desire, a genius for writing about the politics of his time. And this was a particular play that he wrote in response to what he saw going on during the war, the kind of greed and lack of social responsibility that he felt, that people were taking advantage of the war to make a profit, to put it very simply.
Yes, and it was also based on a true story, correct?
Yes, it was based on a true story that he read, not exactly this same story, but something very similar. Mm-hmm. And I suppose it caught his eye, caught his attention. He's, you know, the mind starts thinking, okay, what can I do? What are the possibilities? I have directed another play of his called The Crucible in Thailand, which had a theme, also a political theme. So he was up for tackling the big problems of his time.
That's one way how to expose him, no?
Yes, exactly. But, I mean, the fact that he wanted to do that, that he based his career on that, I think is very significant in the life of the stage. Not everybody chooses to do that.
I think he also had some problems in between, yeah, at the time of the war.
Ah, yes. That's what The Crucible is based on. Mm. He was called before the House Un-American Activities Committee, before the Senator Joe McCarthy. Everybody knows probably this story about the horrors that came from that committee, which took upon itself to condemn and ostracize and banish from public life many people who they accused of being communists.
What inspired you to choose that particular play? What is the relevance to Orville's current situation, maybe, or in general?
Well, I mean, I see it in the larger picture of the world. Mm-hmm. What happens if we don't take our share of responsibility for what's going on in the world? I watch from afar with horror at what is happening in my own country, in the U.S. And so I am made conscious every day through mass media, through social media, of the consequences of not thinking through the choices that you make in life, especially the choices that affect not only you, your family, but your neighborhood, your village, your city, your country, the world, ultimately.
The choices does make a huge impact, no?
Yes, exactly. And that's the reason why this play attracted my attention. Mm-hmm. I love his writing also, the quality of the writing, the way he tells a story, the way this story, particular story, unfolds. I found that it would be a challenge, and I always like a challenge. And somebody sitting across from me right here said, "Oh, well, why don't you play the part of the mother?" And I thought, well, yeah, why, you know, that would be maybe a good idea. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, who else could do it? But ultimately, I took that suggestion.
We don't see you on the stage too often.
No, this is the first time in a long while since I think the play called Milarepa, where I played the mother of Milarepa. Now I'm playing again a mother, a very strong part, and I'm playing opposite my real life partner, Svar.
Yeah, that's another thing.
So that's another interesting thing. Yeah. But actually, I find it very, very easy to play. It hasn't been difficult at all.
But I've noticed you also changed the hairstyle for that role, no?
Yes, that's thanks to Ladina, who is a hair wizard. And she came on board just a few days ago and took up this job. It. Yeah, yeah, 10 people, one little kid, 9 adults. Also Joe Cooper and her daughter. are there wonderfully with us to do makeup. And mm-hmm. and another young woman from Chennai, Farin Aslam, who came on board to help us with the costumes.
Uh-huh, okay.
So there's...
You answered my question.
Okay, sorry. Get me started and yeah. I just keep rolling.
Let's give a chance also to Nishant. What Arthur Miller is really particular, yeah? How did you decide to participate in that? And maybe also, what inspired you to come to Oroville? Because you're from Delhi, right?
Yeah. I did a lot of theater in Delhi, so I was looking for new opportunities to learn, to explore things. So I was planning to go in Canada, so but it didn't happen. I was searching new things. So I searched Kerala mm-hmm. to do theater and to learn Kalaripayattu. But one of my friend, he told me about Oroville and how things gone, and he told me about the Oroville theater group. So I started searching videos and the notes and the. So I saw their work and I was like impressed. Mm-hmm. So I came for 3 days to visit Oroville and to see things, how they rehearse, how they do things, and I was like completely impressed. And so I just came, I packed my bags and I came. And what inspired me to do All My Son, it's I came all the way from Delhi to do theater. So it was, there's a All My Son, she decided, and I was like, okay, I'm ready, I want to do this, I want to do new things. Yeah. Okay.
Let's go beside Nishant and you and Swar, so there will be three, it's five more.
There are ten altogether, yeah. So there's Shilpi, Vinu, Merta, who's a long-term volunteer, mm-hmm. Ahmed, also a long-term volunteer, who else? Bert, my grandson, mm-hmm. The son of Tananjayan and Shanti.
Mm-hmm. Is also a small boy, no?
Small boy, who's Sadish is also playing a part. Who else? Who did I leave out? Manju. And Satendra Manju Selvam, mm-hmm. her first time on the stage. And Satendra Kumar from Pandey University. Mm-hmm. So that's the group.
So it's like half, let's say, Oroville, so people who are more related to Oroville and half outside.
Yes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in and 5 out.
Yeah.
I like that. I mean,
you
I like
this mixture. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it. Because if you don't, you know, it's like Oroville. I mean, the theater group is a miniature Oroville. You have to be open to receive new people. Mm-hmm. And you have to be welcoming. And you have to be happy to share what you do with them. And to encourage them. And to introduce them to Oroville. I feel that this is my responsibility. Not just I'm directing a play, but I'm also... I represent Oroville. I'm called the Oroville Theatre Group. Yeah. So I have to take some responsibility for that.
For the other aspects of ideas of Oroville.
Yes, exactly. It's always there. It's always in front.
It's cool. Nishant, you guys been practicing for this play about 3-4 months, right?
Yeah. Four.
We
started in
January.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's 4 and something.
Yes.
How it is to you? I mean, to work, because the play is actually really demanding. It's quite long.
Yeah.
It's almost 3 hours, right?
Yeah. It's completely a different experience, because before that I was in a habit of, like, we used to do 6 plays in 1 month, so it was a very short term to learn thing. But here I'm exploring one character from last 4 months, how he, like, how he thinks, his mental situation, his economical situation, his place in society, his mental level, and what he's doing in his real life. So it, exploring all these things and try to live these things, it's incredible. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
By the way, who do you play?
I'm playing George, and he's a lawyer, mm-hmm. and his father accused to ship defective air parts during World War in military Air Force. So
you're also dealing with the senses of guilt and that.
Yeah, I'm
neglecting the father.
Something. Yeah, I'm neglecting my father because of him. I'm not able. Like everybody is looking at me with an eye. Like his father is a murderer and he killed 21 pilots. I'm ashamed of my father's deed. Mm-hmm. So I cut all my connection with my father. I went to New York to start a new life. I was running away from that guilt. Mm-hmm. But one day, my sister, he went to meet Chris, like they're involved. So I take a flight to meet my father, and everything's changed in that moment, in one day, in one visit. Like now I'm ashamed of myself that I don't know my father well. Mm. Why I took that stand to cut all the relationship, to cut everything with my father. Now I'm ashamed of that. I'm ashamed of myself.
That's quite a path, no?
Yeah, it's frustrating. It's
from blaming somebody and then realizing that guilt's also lies.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Heavy, no?
Yes, yes. It's not a light subject, but actually, in the play, we discovered that there's also a lot of humor. Mm-hmm. It's not all grim. Yeah. This play.
There's some music, no?
There's music. I found. Of course, the music for this time period, the 1940s American big band sound is...
I've seen it somewhere, and I think it's probably really much true, because music is one of the things on the planet. We did it somehow right, you know? At least close to the right thing. So it's... also, the music did encourage and inspire people to keep on.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it attacks you emotionally without any filter. You don't need... an explanation, except if you're from another planet. You don't need an explanation of the feeling behind the music.
True.
So I chose in particular songs which were, I thought, relevant to the story.
Which ones, if I may ask?
Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy of Company B, mm-hmm. Blue Skies by Frank Sinatra. What else is there? I hear the music, but I don't remember the titles anymore.
It's the music of the time.
Yes, the music of the time.
Yeah. Three Sisters?
What?
The Three Sisters song?
The sisters who were singing. The Andrew Sisters, I think they were called.
Andrew Sisters.
Yeah.
He was a famous trumpet man from old Chicago way. He had a boogie style that no one else could play. He was the top man at his craft. But then his number came up and he was gone with the draft. He's in the army now, a blowin' reveille. He's the boogie-woogie bugle boy of Company B. They made him blow a bugle for his Uncle Sam. It really brought him down because he couldn't jam. The captain seemed to...
Yeah, and I like to include music and dance, if possible, in every show, because I think it opens up another level of communicating with the audience and understanding the story without words. Because this is a text with a lot of words. So you want, also for the actors, you want a break. You want a little bit of intermission from all the...
But you will have a real intermission as well, right?
We don't plan on an intermission.
No?
Yeah.
We have music in between, where, I mean, the music is about 3 minutes each time, and there's 4 or 5 breaks. Okay. So if somebody has to leave or... go to the toilet, they can go in that time. But I hardly ever have breaks in my plays, because I feel that the story gets lost somewhere. When you take a break and the lights go up again and people look around and now they're back in Oroville and they're back chatting with their friends, and then they have to again come back. We have to create again the atmosphere of the play. It's very disturbing. So I try not to do that.
Yes, it is, yeah. Why did you choose to... Because the play is set up on a garden behind Kripa, right?
Yes, we call it now Kripa Garden.
Okay.
Yes.
Why did you choose to put it there?
Yeah, that's a story. So the story itself is set in the backyard of the Keller home, which is in a town in Ohio, USA. So I thought, okay, we have to have a backyard. So I can create a backyard on stage, of course. Mm-hmm. I can put some trees. I can put projections of a house. But while we were rehearsing in Kripa, I took a look around and I thought, but look, this is a backyard.
It is a backyard.
You know, why do I have to create a false backyard when we have a backyard right here? Mm-hmm. We have the open air, we have the sky, we have the stars. We don't have to imagine them. Mm-hmm. They're here. Plus, of course, if I had chosen to play in Bart Nevis, I would have been disappointed because Bart Nevis is closed for performances the summer, yeah. for the summer. So that was not an option. So when that happened, my options were greatly reduced anyway. Mm. And then this seemed like a much more viable alternative.
What do you think about, or how do you feel about the stage?
Yeah, I'm comfortable with the stage, but initially it was very difficult to adjust according to the voice and the movement because it's so big. And in the Bharat Nivas, it's like you have dimensions. Here there's no dimension, but it gives you a feeling of reality. Like it's real. There's a tree, benches, and stars. As she said, like it's real. So it's very easy to believe that I'm back. Mm. I'm in a backyard. It's real.
It does look like a backyard.
Yeah. And thanks to the generosity of Aura Achana, to Clemens and Coco, we have very nice backyard furniture. So,
oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's also the things which is probably not so easy to get.
No? Amazing. No, I mean, they're amazing people. I don't know what we would do without them, the theater people in Oroville, because they're so generous with their time and their energy and always welcoming and, yeah, look around, take what you need, what do you need, let me help you. And
mm-hmm. And you actually do have an antique table and chair, the bench.
Yeah.
And the
yeah, they're all from their restoration antique shop, Aura Achana.
Cool. What else shall we say?
Please come to see our show. Tonight, Saturday and Sunday at 7:30 at Kripa Garden, just behind Kripa. Everyone is welcome. I would, of course, knowing the nature of the play, I would probably advise young children would get a little bit restless, so it's not advisable to bring those who can't really appreciate the story, like under 16, and of course, please, no babies, especially because we're so close to our audience. Uh-huh. There's not a big gap between us and you.
So we are just a neighbors of your garden.
Yes, exactly. You're a witness, actually. You are a witness to what is going on. So please bear that in mind and please come.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to having you here and looking forward to see you.
Okay. Thank you, Miriam.
Thank you.